WDRT's sportiest studio. That's Studio B. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
And I'm Aaron.
And as you can tell, I'm not even going to ask how your week was. I'm sure it was really, really good. You've got the look. Me too. I'm super pumped.
Why?
It is, as you could probably, you know, because it's marked on your calendar as well as it is mine. It's opening day for Major League Baseball.
Oh.
Yeah, yep.
The baseballs are back.
The baseball hitting and pitching is back officially this afternoon. The Yankees kicked it off. They were the first game. Aaron Judge hit the first home run of the season.
And we should clarify, we're recording right now on Thursday afternoon at about 5 o'clock.
That is correct. Thursday at 5.
So that's why you're hearing it.
And I was able to listen to Brewers opening day already. So, yep, I've had two brats. I've eaten nachos and a helmet, and I've been tailgating outside the studio since noon. I've been ready for this day since
last year
since we started talking about doing a sports show. This is pretty much all I really wanted to do, was get excited for Brewers opening day.
Talk about the Brewers.
They lost. they lost Thursday. It was 4-0. They got three hits for the game. Corbin Burns gave up four runs in five innings. Three walks. The relievers, on the positive note, three scoreless innings from three relievers who weren't with the team last year. So there's not a silver lining. They lost 4-0. But I was super excited listening to it on the radio. They have five new players from last year. Wow. In their starting lineup. A team that was just a few games short of a playoff spot last year picked up theoretically better players. You know,
you always hope so.
You wouldn't hope to reload with a worse team than last year. They called up two. They got two real good prospects. A Garrett Mitchell. He got called up last year. He's got a real big arm. Plays center field. Real fast. Strikes out a lot. He had two Ks today. He struck out twice today. He was 0-4. And Bryce Terang was their first round pick. I'll say four years ago, give or take. Utility infielder. He can hit a little bit, plays all over the diamond. He got called up at the end of spring training. He was 1-for-3. He was also, for what it's noted, the seventh player in Brewers history to open on opening day to be in the starting lineup. Amongst those players are Robin Yount and Paul Molitor. There's a few less memorable names on that list. Gary Sheffield for a brief moment, but it was really fun to listen to him. Nothing really exciting to happen in that game. Like I said, it's when you have three, when you only get three hits. Willie Adames was 1-for-3. The Brian Anderson, the guy they picked up, and he was 1-for-2 with a couple of walks. The most noteworthy thing that happened in this game was Cubs starter Marcus Stroman had the first clock violation of the Major League Baseball season.
Good.
Yep, he took too long to throw a one ball two strike count to Christian Yelich with a guy on second. The umpire gave him the "you took too long." It was an automatic ball, 2-2 count. Christian Yelich later walked, but it was a that was about it. The other notes of things from the Brewers from last time we talked. For spring training ended up, their best prospects are three outfielders. All of them are in AA and AAA, so they can eventually get called up, but it was either they'd be part-time players in the majors or getting some full-time in the minors. So if you're a Nashville Sounds fan or down in Nashville, you can catch some of the Brewers' best young outfielders, just in case you got travel plans. And Keston Hiura, which was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, had a really good rookie season. Has been not very good at all since then. He got outrighted to AAA. So if that happens again, he can be a free agent and go anywhere he'd like. But nobody wanted to trade for him and pay his salary. So he's still a Brewer at the end of the day. Yeah.
Okay.
Their next game is they don't play on Friday. Next game is Saturday. Brandon Woodruff against some Cubs starter. But yep, you can catch him on the radio pretty much every single day. You can catch Brewer that they're playing. Highly recommend that. You get to hear Bob Uecker.
No, he's still doing this.
Still doing it, and you know he's not every inning, but
isn't he like 90 some years old?
Ish, yeah. He's in the neighborhood, but you know, as soon as I hear him, I could listen to him talk about Brewers all day, every day. So Yep, that was the number one big thing on my sports radar today, and it was a they lost, but whatever. It's 162 games, so they've got 161 more opportunities to win and go Crew.
By the way, Bobby Kerr is 89.
89, yeah. Good guess. He's been part of Wisconsin sports, it feels like, my whole life. At least he was a player for the Milwaukee Braves. And he also, you know, has been the announcer for the Brewers for forever and ever and ever.
Since the 80s? 90s?
You know, that could be. To be fair, in the 80s, and he was also on Mr. Belvedere.
Yes.
So he was also I don't know if he was also an announcer at the same time. We should really just do one of these. We'll just do a 30-minute discussion on Bob Uecker, his career, and so anyway, that was the big good news. Also, over the last week, the Badgers were, you know, I was giving a hard time that the Badgers were in the NIT, and it wasn't.
I just looked it up.
Please do.
Bob Uecker's been announcing games since 1971.
Wow. That's why. Was he still a player at that? Was he like just a part-time player and just showed up and started talking?
51 years as the...
All for the Brewers?
Well, 52 years now.
Wow.
Second longest continuous tenure with one team among active Major League Baseball announcers.
The more you know. That is some cool news that I wouldn't have guessed.
I'm assuming the last like 10 years he's not full-time.
No. They've had... one of the announcers on March Madness, Brian Anderson, was on he was used to be a Brewers guy. They had Bill Schroeder, the other guy who's been on Brewers, has been not the color man, but the information guy for at least...
The amateur producer?
But he's a professional. Yeah, he's a professional producer, 20 years. But, yeah, Bob Uecker since 1971. Oh.
I didn't think
that's good trivia. Yeah.
By the way, my Twins are up 2-0 over the Royals.
There it is, see?
In the middle of the eighth,
Go Twins, yeah.
All right, go ahead with your Badgers.
Badgers,
messing it all up.
We were, it was a, they were good in the NIT. I watched every game that was on. Most all the NIT games were on the cable, so I was able to watch them. They beat Oregon last Tuesday, 61-58. They were a number one seed. Oregon was a really good team. Then the semifinals came around, and they lost 56-54 against North Texas.
Hmm.
They were up by as many as 12, maybe 14 points in the second half. Chucky Hepburn in the first half had 15 points and could not miss. He finished the game with 15 points.
Oh, nice.
He in the second half, whoever was on him on defense was really, really on him. Like, there's a reason that North Texas led the nation in defense this year at giving up 55 points a game. They, even though they're in a small conference, and I can't name you one player on a 30-7 North Texas team, they played defense like a Big Ten team. They stopped everything in the last in the last few minutes. In fact, just breaking down the end of the game, because a couple stats of disappointment from the Brewers, nothing from the subs. They had four players off the bench, 36 minutes, 3 points, four fouls, 1 of 10 shooting. Really underwhelming anytime any of the starters came off, because Stephen Crowell and Tyler Wahl, 22-15 combined, they were really good. Seemed like the first three quarters of the game, they were the best two players in the paint the whole time. And then a 10-0 run by North Texas to close the game. That was it, to lose by 2 points. They played perfect defense right down the stretch. Tyler Wahl missed two free throws and had a shot blocked in the last minute. Badgers had the chance with 6 seconds left. They didn't get a shot off with 6 seconds left after calling a timeout. Their bigs just kind of passed back and forth. Ball got poked away. Game over. They went 9 minutes and 7 seconds without scoring a point.
Yeah, don't expect to win when you do that.
You will not win any games. 1 for 16 to finish the game shooting, including missing their last 10 from the field. So as much as it was a disappointing season... Then he got a little excited. Nice microcosm of what the Badgers season actually was this year. It was they finished at 20-15 for the year.
That's not a losing record.
It's not a well. They also had the most games in the nation decided by single digits. So you would expect a team with not a lot of talent but decent coaching, to be at 20-15. It tells you that Greg Gard won't be fired because he's a decent coach, not a great recruiter. Because these sophomores and juniors that they have, you know, in college basketball where it's filled with young freshmen and sophomores, when you're juniors and seniors and you're still 20 and 15, maybe you're not recruiting the top end guys. Right. So they'll be the same team next year because other than Tyler Walls theoretically leaving, he got picked up an extra year as all the college kids did in every sport during the COVID year. So he can come back for his fifth year. And so they're pretty much going to be the same team. Nobody's graduating. They're not picking up any super, super recruits. So
good year of experience then.
You know, that's where the NIT is actually kind of a nice thing. You give guys
a little extended season.
Four more games, a whole bunch more practices. Coaches get a chance to see these guys and how they fit together. And so next year, you know, maybe they're a 24 win team or something. Which would mean they're an NCAA tournament team. They'd finish a lot higher in the conference. So that will officially be the last talk about the Badgers basketball team for a while. I think we will be getting into Badger football way sooner than we get into Badger basketball at all.
November?
Yeah, give or take.
November, December-ish?
Yeah. It's a...
Okay.
So that about hits us up for...
How about the Final Four?
You
want to talk about that at all?
We can talk about the Final Four.
Where there's no... I'm looking at it right now. The highest seed is a number 4 seed. That's UConn.
Yes.
5 seed Miami is playing UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5 San Diego is playing number 9 Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic. For the casual college basketball fan, it's not exciting. You don't see a lot of the top guys or the top coaches or the top teams, but the stories have been fantastic.
Right.
There's no number 1 seeds even in the Elite 8. All the number 1 seeds had no chance to make the Final Four, which has never happened before. That's kind of exciting. So Saturday at 5 is Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, and then after that is Miami UConn. The finals on Monday. I can break down give you the basics of these four teams, because if anybody you can get real in depth and spend way more than the 8 to 10 minutes that we.
Well, they have a whole channel devoted to this.
I'd assume that, for a lot of this information, this will just be if you happen to be watching on Saturday, because you should. It's the big event for college.
So, do you do a bracket?
I did.
Okay.
Terrible. I didn't have anything positive past the first two rounds. When I used to guess, I used to do a lot better, but now. I study a little bit. I try to look at this team versus that team and matchups versus hot versus... Nope, I think the one I had was UConn going the farthest because they have a lot of talent. They played really well in the beginning of the year. They're definitely the best of these four teams as far as... I can tell you, UConn, even if you... UConn isn't considered the blue blood. They're not Duke. Right. They're not North Carolina, Kentucky. But since 1999, this is the fifth time that they are going for a national title, which is more than Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, or Kansas has been to for the last 20-some years. So UConn is definitely the big boy out of this. They beat a lot of really good teams. Yeah. They beat Alabama. They beat Iowa State. They've got the most NBA talent. Adama Sanogo, which
God bless you.
That was a good one. I practiced that one. He's the best big left in the tournament. He's averaging 20 plus and 9 boards, and he's a legitimate 7-footer on a Big East school. He's definitely the most talented player out of any of the teams that any of the teams have. So UConn's definitely, I'd say, they're the highest ranked. They've hit 44% of their threes, which is a remarkable amount, especially come tournament time. If you can find a guy who's going to hit 6 threes in a game, if you were a betting man, you're putting money probably on UConn. Miami's the second best team. They won the ACC. They won their conference this year over Duke. They're going for their first title. All of these teams except for UConn are going for their first title. Miami beat a number 4 seed, a number 1 seed, a number 2 seed to get here. So they've beat the best teams.
Nice.
They've got a couple of legit NBA caliber players on their team. And their coach, Jim Larrañaga, has been to a Final Four when he was coaching George Mason a few years ago. George Mason was a Cinderella team as a
I remember
13,
that.
Yep. Their coach was Jim Larrañaga. Since then, he went to Miami. And he's the most experienced coach left. He was a younger coach then. Now he's the most experienced coach left in the tournament. So those two teams are going to square off as the second game. The opener is Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State. And Florida Atlantic had a fairly easy route, as teams can go, to win four games in 2 weeks. They beat a number 8 seed. They beat number 16 Fairleigh Dickinson when Fairleigh Dickinson knocked off Purdue. They beat a number 4 and a number 3 seed. Prior to this year, they had never won a tournament game.
Oh, wow.
They'd never won an NCAA tournament game prior to this year. They have this year, however, won 35 games. So as much as they're the underdog, the lowest-ranked team, the team with perhaps the least name,
right,
the least maybe talent, they have the most practice at winning games. They won their conference, they won their conference tournament, and they won 35 games. So
what conference are they in, do you know?
Oh, that is the A something Colonial Conference. It's one of the smaller conferences.
Yeah.
Okay. It is.
Yep. Well, good for them.
Yep, they were number 9 seed. But they were also down in the second half of every game, down later in the second half of every game in this tournament. So as much as, like I said, they're the underdogs, they've won. They've come from behind to beat every team that they've played.
Like the Minnesota Vikings?
Yes, yes. They are the Minnesota Vikings. Lots of wins, but so they're probably the fourth best team in this. San Diego State had the luckiest, you know, as you're looking through the how they won and why they won. San Diego State is considered the luckiest. They've played a 12 seed, a 13 seed, a number 1, and a number 6 seed. They've had they're the best defensive team, is what they say. Defense wins championships. Right. According to the numbers in college basketball, that's not always true. Only 2 of the last 10 national champions have been one of the highest-ranked defensive teams, but San Diego State is the best since February, since the college basketball season has truly mattered. They are the best defensive team in the country by a fairly large margin. Okay. Every team that they have beat in the tournament this year was the best scoring team in the conference. Every team they've beat, and they have held each of those teams to the lowest
ever
point total for the season. Nine. So they beat
should be interesting.
They beat number 1. The number 1 they beat was Alabama. Alabama has Brandon Miller is the best, most talented college basketball player.
They were the number 1.
They were the number 1 team, number 1, and they just stopped them. They just played defense, which you know, it's not super super exciting to watch,
right?
But it really is in college basketball. If you're watching stops being made and people, you know, running through screens, blocking shots, talking on defense, it reminds, for most people who played perhaps basketball in high school, middle school, that's what they taught you to do.
Sure.
And you don't see it the higher you get through as an NBA fan. You're not watching the defense. Even as a huge college basketball fan, very infrequently are you seeing team defense leading to wins and having that be something worth talking. So San Diego State, they've had 3 different players lead the team in scoring.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're doing
it. Any predictions?
I mean, UConn. I can't.
Yeah.
As much as it comes down to this team versus Miami has some really good players, I feel like the obvious answer is whoever wins UConn and Miami should be the national champion. Okay. But, you know, I like a UConn-San Diego State final. And then from there, I mean, UConn. But San Diego State, if they keep playing defense, they're going to win an ugly national. They might become the first team in that I can think of that won a national championship purely on defense.
Yeah.
They don't have an NBA player. They don't have a NBA Lenny coach. They haven't done anything real spectacular other than just beating everybody up. So
here's a question for you.
Sure, man.
Of all the people, we'll use ESPN as the numbers. Of all the people that submitted a bracket through ESPN,
mm-hmm.
coming to the Final Four, how many people were left that actually had it right till that point?
Till the Final Four? I'd say, usually it's like 2. Right? Like 1, maybe?
4.
4 people.
4 out of people out of 20 million, I think it was, or something like that, had this Final Four.
I mean, it seems like...
You know, how do you figure that? I mean, it's just like, is it the dart, you know?
And that's the thing. If you did this by the numbers, you might pick a UConn. You right. might pick a San Diego State because they have metrics that tell you. You maybe you'd say Florida Atlantic won 35 games. They're just going to keep winning.
I think it comes down to, well, I like their logo.
But you could say, you could make an argument. Miami won their conference. San Diego State plays defense. UConn's got big NBA talent on that roster. On Florida, so you could, but it'd be really, really hard.
Yeah, it's just lucky. I mean, it's legitimately, I think, we'll try this. I like the name of their team.
Yep,
if I like their mascot. It's cool.
Florida Atlantic Owls is a pretty cool nickname, so maybe you could get there with that.
But,
yeah, no, I 100% believe that because, I mean, the odds are very slim.
There's always one or two or
sure.
Every bracket season in all the, analysts that I was listening to, I think yesterday or the day before, they're like, how does it happen? And their cohort, their co-host was like, it's mascot, it's colors, it's
yes.
They let their girlfriend or their boyfriend pick it, and they go, who? Them.
I mean, I'd be willing to bet that if anybody listening is in a bracket, the person who won it is not the person who gets together and gets really excited about March Madness. No. It's not the guy.
It was a work thing, and they go, "Hey, throw in a bracket for $5, and you can win, you know, 50 to 100."
The person who's winning is not the one studying the bracket on Sunday for the analytics of the win loss records or the defensive efficiency ratings.
No,
I did, and I do usually, and I don't know why I pick brackets other than it's good to be frustrated and you know, once the Badgers. It's kind of like that with any of the major sports. Once the teams that I'm not all that interested in aren't in it, I'm just watching it for the sport of it. That was why, if you remember, I watched the Pro Bowl of the NFL.
Right.
I will watch the NIT. I watch XFL football over the weekend. It's
interesting.
My son has become a big XFL
fan. I have not caught a game yet. How is it? I mean, how different is it?
You're watching, it feels like a pro game, right? Because
they're
very large, very fast people playing football, and it's not like it's a NFL team against an XFL team. So, you know, if a quarterback misses, you're not watching one team. Yeah, it's fun to watch, and they have a couple of interesting rules in the XFL.
Okay.
I caught the on kickoffs. They do their kickoffs from the regular spot, but all the players are lined up at the 30. Near where the ball is received. So they start and they're next to like they're lined up
right,
like somebody said hike, and they just smack into each other, and then there's an open lane for the runner. It doesn't feel less violent. It doesn't feel like it helps anything. You're watching it and the ball has to hit a certain spot, so you're watching kickers get real accurate at dropping basically a 9-iron right onto a spot so their players can get farther down.
Sure.
I watched former Badger Jack Cohen is the quarterback for San Antonio or something.
Whatever.
You know, some team. So you're watching a couple guys.
There are a lot of NFL, ex-NFL guys in there. Yeah. I mean, even what's his name?
Josh Rosen.
Is he in there too?
He was an XFL draftee, yes.
The wide receiver that's
Josh Gordon.
Gordon.
Josh Gordon is and of course he's way overqualified even at 30 plus years old. He's still the fastest player on his team.
Do they drug test him that?
I would assume it's got to be a little more liberal apparently
because
he's lasted more than 3 games in the XFL. So I'd assume it's a little more.
Right.
So
you want to keep on talking and just kind of finish it up with a song at the
end? How many more minutes do we have?
Yeah, we're getting close. Right now we've got 4.5 minutes left.
4.5 minutes. All right, I'm going to give you real quick.
Yeah.
For the thing to watch this week.
Yes.
Tomorrow, women's NCAA South Carolina versus Iowa. It's the women's Final Four as well. And admittedly, I don't follow women's college or sports very closely, women's sports in general. But this one is 4-time All-American Aaliyah Boston is on South Carolina. That's 4-time All-American.
Nice.
Yeah, that's impressive all by itself, and she's the best player, you know, a number one pick in the WNBA. Going up against Iowa, and Caitlin Clark is must-see TV.
Yeah.
If you are at all a sports fan, Caitlin Clark had a 40-point triple-double in the NCAA tournament game the other day. She pulls up like Steph Curry from anywhere.
Wow.
She talks while she's doing it. She hits big threes. She looks like a junior in high school. She looks like an Iowa high school.
Right,
so impressive to watch. So It's the best defense. She's also been named
AP Women Athlete.
Women Athlete of the Year. I believe it. She's great to watch. She brings a lot of name to the sport. So that's the best defense in South Carolina against the best offense in the country. So if you're a sports fan, please watch that. That about wraps us up in sports.
I mean, NFL?
We don't have to talk about any Aaron Rodgers things because nothing happened.
Because Lamar Jackson's taking all the headlines.
You know, Lamar Jackson is not on my team. Yeah. And until he becomes on some team, no, there's no news in the NFL worth getting excited about, which is kind of nice, kind of a relief.
We're going to do something different today. We're going to end the show on a song.
We're going to hit up Flogging Molly, If I Ever Leave This World Live. This one goes out to Riley. 17 years. Thank you for always being such a good boy, buddy. I'll miss you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Make sure you check us out on Spotify. Well, the show's always at 9:30 every morning on Fridays. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
If I ever leave this world alive, well, thank you for the things you did in my life. If I ever leave this world alive, I'll come back down and sit beside your feet tonight. Wherever I am, you'll always be more than just a memory. If I ever leave this world alive, if I ever leave this world alive, I'll take on all the sadness that I left behind. If I ever leave this world alive, the madness that you feel will soon subside. So in a word, don't shed a tear, I'll be here when it all gets weird. If I ever leave this world alive, I'm okay.